The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, Emergency Edition. Cam Newton to injured reserve. I'm Will Brinson. I'm the host of this podcast. Whenever we got big time breaking news and this qualifies, we have a thing in the office that actually, it's like the bar. Will we clear it? The Cam Newton to IR helped. Nick Foles back as a starter for the Jaguars pushes it over the top here to talk about all of that. My best friends in the entire world, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. Oh, hey, Sean. Sean Biden McGuff here as well. Hey, what's up, buddy?
You're not Sean my best is now friend either. So it goes both ways.
Just kidding. All right, look, we'll give Sean credit. Sean was out working in a cafe and sprinted back to his apartment to do this podcast. So credit to you, Sean.
Can I ask you a question, Sean? Were you at a cat cafe?
No.
As I said on yesterday's podcast, I'm a little bit allergic, and I could tell that story again if Ryan wants to hear it.
Were you on a Tinder date?
No, I was working. I was working on my quarterback power rankings.
I was going to ask you what your date thought about the Cam Newton news.
All right, let's get into it. We don't need this nonsense. We don't need you talking about Sean's dating life. We got to talk about Cam Newton. Cam Newton was placed on injured reserve by the Carolina Panthers on Tuesday morning. We played on the previous podcast Ron Rivera's comments on Monday when asked about Cam Newton, and he was very snarky and ticked off and annoyed that he had to answer questions. And so this is sort of feels like it's a bit of a response to it. Marty Herney said in a statement, for the past 7 weeks, Cam has diligently followed a program of rest and rehab and is still experiencing pain in his foot. He saw two foot specialists last week who agreed that he should continue that path prescribed by the team's medical staff and that it likely will take significant time for the injury to fully heal. Yikes. We've said all along that it's impossible to put a timetable on this injury. Nobody is more frustrated with that fact than Cam. He's one of the fiercest competitors I've been around during my 20 plus years in the league. At this time, we've decided the best decision to reach the goal of bringing the foot back to 100% is to place Cam on injured reserve. Let me ask you this first, Breach. Have we seen the last of Cam Newton in a Carolina Panthers uniform?
Unless he is wearing it at his house hanging out, I think yes, we have. I would be shocked if he returns in 2020, and it just doesn't make any sense from any perspective to bring him back. And this is – forget about Kyle Allen for a second. You're just the Panthers. You have to decide if Cam Newton is your quarterback of the future. And if you look at what he's given them, he's lost his last 8 straight starts. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. I know that he took the to the playoffs 4 times in 8 years, took him to the Super Bowl in 2015, but that's not the Cam Newton he is anymore. He's a Cam Newton who can't stay healthy, and we'll probably dig into his contract a lot more. But the thing is, if they trade him or if they cut him, they pick up $19.1 million in salary cap space. So not only are you getting rid of your quarterback, but you have enough money to go out and sign another quarterback if you think that's the route you have to go to get a quarterback. So I would be absolutely shocked if Cam Newton ever plays another down with the Panthers. And the one thing I will say is that you look at the market for teams that need a quarterback this offseason, we're talking about the Bears. Sean doesn't want Mitch Trubisky under center anymore. He would rather have Cam Newton. There's the Broncos, the Titans, the Buccaneers. They don't know what they're going to do with Jameis Winston. Cam Newton could be a fit in there. Tom Brady could retire next year. We don't know what's up with his contract. Phillip Rivers. So there's a bunch of teams that will be looking for a quarterback, which could put the Panthers in a spot where they could trade him and get something for him. And the thing with Cam Newton is that he's only is the final year of his contract, only $18 million in base salary. That's a very affordable rate to test run what your team can do with Cam Newton. If he does well, then you sign him to an extension.
I would just point out one thing. If you'll allow me this moment, Brent, to talk, because I like to always be polite when I interrupt. So, yeah, look, John's right about most of that. I don't know if the Panthers really are ready to move on. What are you making a face for?
I was interrupting.
Okay. And here's why. Because Kyle Allen has been good for the most part. He's been below replacement level, though, if you sort of look at the advanced stats. Look, that 50-burger wasn't really his fault 2 weeks ago. He did throw three interceptions, but there's a lot of blame to go around there. But if you look at Football Outsiders Advanced Metrics, he ranks 23rd in value per play behind Ryan Fitzpatrick, Case Keenum, Jared Goff, just ahead of Mason Rudolph. And I wanted to call up Cam's numbers real quick. And, of course, Football Outsiders doesn't have them handy, but I would imagine when he's healthy, rarely has he finished below 15th. And I'll check that real quick as someone else talks. But the point is you have a franchise quarterback in Cam. He has to be healthy. When is he going to be healthy? I don't know, but I would imagine an offseason off would get him there. And do you want to gamble on Kyle Allen / Will Greer as the future when there's so much uncertainty around those two guys?
Yeah, excuse me. Here's part of the problem with that, though. Cam Newton is going to have to be willing to play into the final year of his contract. The Panthers cannot state this strongly enough. They cannot sign him to a contract extension before seeing him play a full 16-game season after whatever happens with the foot, whether it is an offseason starting, you know, right now, November 5th to, whatever it is, you know, September for the first season, a full offseason of rest and rehabilitation or a surgery. Like, if he undergoes surgery, and that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Cam, you know, there's enough time left in the season, he can come back still. Off injured reserve. He can come back in the playoffs. He can come back, well, I think, maybe the last week of the regular season, whatever it is. I guess he can come back week 17 or maybe in the playoffs. The point being is that Cam could still come back. He may then try to delay getting the surgery until the actual offseason. If he does that, then we'll push the timetable up severely against the offseason programs. It will push it up and up, you know, it'll run it right through the draft. It'll give them a tough decision to make. And they just use a third-round pick on Will Greer. They like him. They don't know what they're going to do in 2020 because here's the other thing. If they don't make the playoffs, Ron Rivera and Marty Herney might get fired, and then Cam Newton might be done, and it would be a clean sweep, a wholesale change for David Tepper if he decided to do that, and I don't think that's off the table.
Let me interject real quickly. So I was wrong. I just said 2015 Cam Newton's MVP year, ranked 11th in value per play, which makes sense. He took the team to the Super Bowl. 2016, he was 28th. Just had Colin Kaepernick and Joe Flacco, Brinson's favorite player.
Well, Cam got hurt in 2016.
Okay. Well, I mean, injuries are part of the equation, right?
Right. No, the 2016 was when he hurt his shoulder the first time, and he played through it like it was stupid. Not like he's a moron, but everybody involved is a moron. Remember, okay. Andrew Luck and Cam hurt themselves at the same time. Cam played through it instead of getting the surgery done, and as a result, was wholly ineffective down the stretch.
Okay, fair enough. 2017, he was 21st, and last season, surprisingly, he was a little better, 23rd, so he was just behind.
Well, he was good last season up until he hurt his shoulder and he couldn't throw the ball 30 yards.
Well, my point is that I said he probably wasn't replacement level. He has been replacement level, injuries or otherwise, since that MVP year in 2015. So,
Brinson, you mentioned that Cam would have to be willing to play in the final year of his contract. Is there a team, though, right now, say the Panthers cut him, is there a team that's going to give him a multi-year deal? Because I feel like every team's going to look at it the same way and be like, we'll give you a one-year prove-it deal. And if you prove the ability to come back from all these surgeries, then you're going to be set up to either get the franchise tag, which will be a lot of money, or someone else will give you a long-term deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think the team would – remember, like, I'm not saying Cam is Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning was coming off four neck surgeries and still got a big deal from the Broncos. Like, Cam would have to prove that he's healthy as a free agent to do it. I really think it comes down to the timing of – it comes down to his decision. Does he try to have surgery or not?
I think he should. I mean, it's his decision, obviously, but, like, and you don't know what he's factoring in. But because I look at this and say he has the surgery – he puts off surgeries and holding out hope that he can come back for the playoffs, I don't even think it's a sure thing the Panthers at that point would be willing to give him the job back if Kyle Allen gets them to the playoffs.
Right.
So, like, he might be holding out for a job that might not be still available.
I think what we'd be looking at is a Jalen Hurts, Tua, Tagovailoa situation in which Tua gets hurt. And Tua being Kyle Allen here, not they're not comparing their skill levels, but like Tua took over the, you know, Alabama as a starter, got hurt, and then Jalen Hurts had to step in for the SEC championship game, right? That's what I, and I'm not saying that Cam is Jalen Hurts. I just think that, like if Kyle Allen gets him to the playoffs and Cam's, they're not sure about Cam's health, they're not going to yank him off injured reserve to play him just because he's, just because they made the playoffs. It would be more like, oh, something happened to Kyle Allen, or he's just not functioning.
But Jalen Hurts was benched in the at halftime of that championship.
Yeah, but then the following year he came back in.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, look, it's convoluted, man. And by the way, if the Chargers went to London, or even if the Chargers don't go to London, I would point out that should the Panthers move on from Cam Newton, my guy Philip Rivers, free agent after this year.
Oh, North God. Turner's his old,
North Turner's his old coach. North Turner, one of his favorite coaches of all time.
Oh no, right. I think it's plausible. I don't think we can handle the idea of Philip Rivers being the quarterback of the Panthers. This podcast would become a Philip Rivers Carolina Panthers podcast. We'd never talk about anything ever again. But let me say real quick on what you guys are talking about Kyle Allen. And the thing is, what the Panthers have seen this year, because I don't think this means that if they get rid of Cam Newton, this doesn't mean that Kyle Allen has to be the starter next year. Because what Ron Rivera, what that team has seen this year is that, hey, when we put a functional quarterback in there, we're pretty good. If we can upgrade from Kyle Allen while also getting rid of Cam Newton, like, why not? Because there's going to be a lot of available quarterbacks this offseason. This is going to be like the winning the lottery, the hitting the gold mine of quarterbacks, because there'll be so many quarterbacks available. I know. Wilson's giving me the look like
Andy Dalton will be out there. Marcus Mariota.
But those are – you don't think all of those guys could potentially be better for the Panthers than Kyle Allen?
Kyle Allen doesn't turn the ball over. I will give him that.
They're not going to
– except this last week.
They're not going to pay Cam Newton $19 million. Are you talking about if they keep Cam Newton, they might
– I'm saying you get – I am saying that no matter how Kyle – this is independent because they could decide not to keep Kyle Allen – or not – not he doesn't have to be the starter next year is what I'm saying. So let's say they finish the season 8-8 and they say, all right, well, look, when Kyle Allen was quarterback, when we had a healthy quarterback, we were okay. If we can upgrade at quarterback, get rid of Cam Newton because you're picking up that money. Now you have $19 million in salary cap space. Now you can go out and get a quarterback, and Kyle Allen can continue to do what you originally signed him to do as an undrafted free agent in 2018, which is kind of serve as a respectable backup. So, I mean, there and that's kind of what you're going with signing Rivers. There's a lot of doors the Panthers could go through.
Look, man, I hate to break it to you. The Panthers aren't signing Andy Dalton, okay?
I don't want him signing. I don't want Andy Dalton anywhere near your team because then we would have to be friends instead of super friends.
No, but look, I really do think that for the Panthers, it is you're going to have to make a decision. Do you want to try to sign Cam Newton again? To me, the answer
you
is
said it. You can't. You have to wait. You can't do it.
I agree, but okay. I'm saying that there's certain points here. Cam is going to have to decide, is he willing to play on a one-year contract for $19 million? The Panthers will have to decide, are we willing to pay Cam $19 million? If Cam is willing to do that and the Panthers are willing to do that, I think there's a pretty easy opportunity to let 2020 play out and then adjust after that via the franchise tag or letting him walk, depending on how healthy he is and all that.
If he can't walk.
Right. And if he can't walk, then you have to cut him, unfortunately.
To roll him out the door.
Maybe Cam's tired of playing football.
Could be that too. But listen, if he plays whatever the case is and they go into 2021 about trying to sign him, it's going to have to be Russell Wilson money. He ain't playing for top 10 money.
Correct.
$35 million, I would imagine, is the conversation starter.
God. See, that's the other thing too, is I would be looking at this, frankly, and I love Cam as, I mean, Cam's one of my favorite players of all time, but, I would be looking at this as, okay, Cam's been incredible. He won an MVP. He got us to a Super Bowl. We've got an out here. Like, we can cut him and, you know, be like, we love everything Cam has done for this franchise, but without being attached to whatever salary he had. Like, that's sort of what the Colts did, right? They, I mean, they, you know, they're like, we've got an out here. You know, we don't
know. They got lucky.
Literally.
Andrew Luck pick. Yeah, right.
Sure. But I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, the Panthers have an out here. If they want to get out, if they want to bail on the idea of paying Cam Newton long term and not knowing if he'll be healthy or not. And they may want to do that. David Tepper comes from a, you know, investment firm. So,
Arnie Mellon grad.
That's right.
Oh, and here's a fun fact. Speaking, because you brought up Andy Dalton, both quarterbacks. Both quarterbacks came out of the 2011 draft. You guys get to guess who ends their career with their respective team with more wins, Dalton or Cam Newton?
So you're saying who has more wins now or who will?
No, with their one team. If he's done with the Panthers, he played 2011, 2019 with the Panthers. Dalton played 2011. Stop! No Googling.
It's obviously Dalton because you would not be bringing it up if it was Cam.
Wilson, what's your guess?
I wouldn't have guessed Dalton, but I guess.
Well, Andy Dalton's career is over. Cam might play 16 games and win 15 of them next year.
No, I am saying with their one team. 2011 and 2019, they're both done for the season. Cam's not done.
Andy Dalton is finished in Cincinnati. He's okay. Toast. He's wasted. He's gone. They're throwing him to the dumpster and sending him to Chicago.
Brinson is stalling so he can Google the answer.
No, Brinson's mad because you just insinuated that Andy Dalton better than Cam Newton.
Who had more wins? He's triggered. Cam Newton.
Who currently has more wins is what you're asking.
Yes.
Andy Dalton is obviously the answer.
You guys are all wrong. I tricked you.
Oh, my God. You got him worked up over that.
But the actual answer is they tied both 68 regular season wins. So it was a trick question. So
that balance that in postseason wins. And where does that get us?
I don't calculate postseason wins. That's
fair out of you.
I haven't done that math research. It is.
Let's do winning percentage.
It's not much.
I love that how much this triggered Brinson.
So
it took us
Andy
12
Dalton
months.
Is a piece of garbage. 12 months to what? Make me angry?
Yeah.
What are you gonna ask, Ryan?
I mean, this doesn't change anything for the Panther season because it's been Kyle Allen the whole time. But any conversation about what this means for the playoffs for them, just. Regardless of whether we're talking about Cam Newton, it's the same team, but they have a long, long way to go because it's a tough conference.
Yeah, I think they still make the playoffs.
Ooh, wait. Let's hear that story.
As a wild card? That's not weird. How's that weird?
You have the Vikings, you have the Seahawks, you have the Rams. And we could talk about maybe the Eagles or Cowboys.
Yeah. And the Panthers are currently 2-3 in the NFC, which is the big tiebreaker for a wild card.
I mean, the Panthers are 5-3. The Cowboys are 5-3. The Eagles are 5-3.
They win the division.
The Rams are 5-3.
Well, the Seahawks and the Vikings.
They are better than that.
The Panthers do get to play the Falcons twice. That's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, yep. But Sean, the Falcons rearranged the coaching staff. They're going to be true. Fine.
Oh, and the Redskins.
Panthers have. Yep, that's right. Panthers played the Seahawks. By the way, huge game at home. They play every year in Charlotte. They're at the Packers this week, obviously. Falcons at Saints, Redskins at Falcons, Seahawks at Colts, and then Saints at home in week 17. Good chance the Saints rest their people in week 17.
You hope so.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean,
sounds like you care a little.
Panthers can still win the division. They got two games.
Yeah, I agree. They won't. They won't. Stop it. But yeah. Theoretically, there's a chance.
I mean, if they sweep the Saints and sweep the Falcons, they're probably winning the division. And that's
if they win out, then they'll be 13-3.
I don't think, for instance, wild card theory is that crazy, though, because you do look at the two games against the Falcons and the Redskins. That gets you up to 8. If the Saints are resting people, that gets you 9 wins. And then you just have to steal maybe one of the other 3 games. And all of a sudden, you're at 10-6, which will likely get you in if one of those other 3 wins is against the Packers or Seahawks, because you'll have that head-to-head tiebreaker.
The Seahawks could be fraudulent, by the way. Their point differential stinks. Their defense is
terrible. Where did that hot take come from?
At the 49ers, at Eagles, Vikings, at Rams, at Panthers, Cardinals, 49ers. That's not an easy schedule.
Wait, you're talking about the Seahawks? Aren't you the one that is convinced the Seahawks are going to beat the 49ers this week?
Yeah. Same guy. Fraudulent win.
Triggered Brinson has lost his mind.
Let me just say this preemptively, Brinson. Those remarks did not age well.
Which remarks?
Anything you've said the last 2 weeks, because I can throw it back in your face because you're on both sides of the fence.
I'm just saying the Seahawks could be a fraud. I think they'll beat the 49ers. They could be a fraud. Their point differential is not good. They don't have a very functional offense, and their defense is terrible. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Nick Foles taking over in Jay Vegas!
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right, so the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you're John Breach, were in the news on Tuesday as well. Big quarterback news broke out. We had Cam Newton, which we talked about before, and Nick Foles named the starter once again in Jacksonville for your Jaguars.
There you go.
Breach, what do you think?
I'm in your head, Brinson. You know what? Here's the thing is I don't hate this move. We talked about it like three. I've been flip-flopping on all my Jacksonville takes. I am the Brinson of Jacksonville because I switch whether or not they're going to win the division every week. I switch whether or not Minshew should be the quarterback for the rest of the season. But now that they're making this move, I actually agree with it. Minshew was just starting to look like a rookie. We saw the ugly performance against the Texans. He fumbled the ball 11 times this year, which is more than any other quarterback in the NFL, more than Jameis Winston. And so, you know, there was no – and you have Nick Foles. You gave him this giant contract. Why not see what he can do? And I'm not saying that just because – start him because of the money. Look at Nick Foles did in week one. He only played for 10 minutes, but he threw for 75 yards and a touchdown in those 10 minutes. That translates to like 9,000 yards and 60 touchdowns for an entire year. So it's not like Nick Foles played bad at all. Why not put him on the field, see what he can do? If he plays well, gets in the playoffs, boom, you still have him for under contract for a few more years. If he doesn't play well, then you try and trade him in the offseason. You let Minshew start next year. So I do think that putting Foles in for the rest of the season is probably the right move here.
I know that Gardner Minshew had a rough outing in London, but the dude has a mustache and wears shorts. He's not built to play in Europe, so don't trade him. Don't trade him for the Chargers. Also, advanced metric, he ranks 12th among all quarterbacks, ahead of Jacoby Brissett, ahead of Jimmy G, ahead of Lamar Jackson, ahead of Carson Wentz. Lamar's mostly because that doesn't incorporate the run, but just a pass. So, I mean, he's not been bad. The Jaguars' offense, I think, ranks 15th overall according to Football Outsiders. The passing game ranks 12th. It's the running game that's been struggling. So, yeah, look, you paid Nick Foles 4 years, $80 million, something like that, something insane.
88.
So, sure, you play him. I get it. This team's in last place. I don't think Nick Foles is going to have a run in him. I'm not sure where Breach is today on the Jaguars making a run at the division. But if Nick Foles is your future, play him. But I feel like Gardner Minshew has a better chance of being that guy.
Yeah, I'm with Ryan. I fully expected the Jags to do this because of the money they spent in the offseason, which, by the way, at the time they gave him that money, most of us, I feel like, were calling it a bad deal. So we've been criticizing this for a while. Minshew has played good enough not only to keep the Jaguars in this playoff position where Breach has been flip-flopping every week, which is a testament to how well he's played, as Ryan just noted, all the advanced metrics, but he also gives the Jaguars a better long-term option at quarterback because he's substantially cheaper than Foles. So I feel like it would have just made more sense for them to stick with Gardner Minshew because he clearly is good enough to keep them around in the playoff race. They're not out of it with him. And if you make the playoffs with him, great. He's established himself as, you know, your future franchise quarterback and all that. And if he doesn't, that's still not a big deal because you still gave him a full season of experience. And I feel like the Jaguars right now should be trying to build around him because he has such a cheap contract and he's shown the ability as a sixth round rookie. Like, he deserves time to even get better. But as a sixth round rookie, he's already, you know, bordering on the top 10 if you look at the advanced metrics, even after his worst outing of the season. So I would have rather they stick with him. I understand why they went to Foles. I fully expected them to go back to Foles. But to me, this is an organization that has botched the quarterback position for years and years and years. They stuck with Blake Bortles a year longer than everyone knew they should have. They could have drafted, you know, Watson or Mahomes. They took a running back, the wrong running back, I should add. And then they gave way too much money to Nick Foles, a guy who hasn't been a full-time starter in a really long time. So I guess I can't trust anything the Jaguars do at the quarterback position. And it seems like they had the obvious solution sitting right there in front of them, fell into their lap in the sixth round, and now they're going away from him.
Yeah, I don't really care for it. I like the idea of rolling Minshew. When I grew up my freaking beard for Minshew and they're benching him for Nick Foles, what am I supposed to grow out now to celebrate Nick Foles?
Curly hair. Where, Brinson, you're hilarious. But Nick Foles, where does he thrive? When you throw him in the middle of the season. That's it. True. That's the only time he's good. So if you're going to, why not take the chance at the Grand Slam here and see if he has that magic that he had in 2017, 2015, 2013? I mean, it happens literally every year when he starts playing more than halfway through the season.
I honestly think it's just because they're worried they will all get fired if.
Which is why they didn't draft a quarterback in the first round. That's what they went out and got Nick Foles to have the security blanket to give them the excuse. No, I think that's exactly right.
They screwed the whole thing up in the beginning, right? I mean, they drafted Blake Bortles. It's fine. He played well 1 year, and then they believed in him, so they gave him a big extension, then didn't take Watson and took Fournette instead. They liked Watson and wanted to take him, factually. And so they didn't take Watson. Then they didn't sign Teddy Bridgewater. Then they're like, oh, we got the answer. It's Blake Bortles. We're the Jaguars. We should be smart. Don't worry about it. We got Blake Bortles. And he's like, oh, no, it turns out you don't have the answer. They gave him the extension, got a bunch of dead money. Then they went out and signed Nick Foles. I mean, they screwed the pooch from the beginning. They're reaping what they sow. And look, good luck. Now, they could rip off some wins here. At Colts, at Titans, Buccaneers, Chargers, at Raiders, at Falcons, Colts, final games. I mean, like, I get why you look at this at 4-5 and say, okay, we have 7 games left. We need to win 5 of them to salvage the season. We can – do we think Nick – if we – I mean, like, I see why you would roll the dice with Nick Foles if you paid him all that money, because if you keep losing with Minshew, it's going to be a hard sell to your owner that you gave Foles all that money. So I think you give him a couple of shots. Look, if they lose the next 2 games, then you need to go back to Minshew and let's see what you have.
Doing that.
So let me ask you this. If, say, Foles plays well, they don't make the playoffs, but he plays well, he's not the problem. What do they do long-term with Minshew? Do they just let him sit there behind Foles? I imagine some team out there would be willing to throw them a pick for him. So yep. But I'm just saying, what do they do?
Because Panthers are a third-round pick, and Will Greer. Here, take it. Give us Minshew.
So I don't know really what they do long-term here, because is anyone going to want to trade for that Foles contract?
No.
I don't know about that, yeah, because no one else wanted to give him that contract.
The Bears.
Yeah, Ryan Pace is dumb enough that.
Well, I mean, they'll trade for it after this season, because Foles is only getting $15 million base salary in 2020. And so if you're a team that trades for him and you get him for just the 2020 season, you can cut him in 2021 without taking a hideous cap hit. So it after this season, it's not a crazy trade for a team to make. So if he does play well down the stretch but doesn't get him in the playoffs, then you say, all right, we're going to start Minshew next year, and we're going to do our best to dump Foles off.
But wouldn't that be admitting the failure that we're saying that they're afraid to admit right now?
Yeah, but at that point in time, you've already convinced your owner not to fire you.
Okay.
So you're buying yourself another year. I mean, basically what Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, and Doug Marrone are trying to do over the next 7 weeks is buy themselves another year. And I think they believe the best way to do it is with Nick Foles. And I'm okay with that line of thinking, even though it goes contradictory to how I think they should operate as a franchise.
Well, like, if they had, say this was a first-year head coach and a first-year general manager, and they were building for the future, I feel like the decision would be a no-brainer. It's play Gardner Minshew, and we'll try to find a way to offload Foles in the offseason.
On the other hand, the Dolphins are playing Ryan Fitzpatrick, so who the hell knows what these guys You know? Okay, very quickly, the Los Angeles Chargers, we talked about this on Monday, the Tuesday morning, Monday night recap show. This is the Tuesday afternoon show, emergency podcast. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. If you like the emergency podcast, let us know on the Apple podcast review thing, because that helps. We appreciate everybody who does the reviews. But if you like the emergency shows, appreciate the extra content, we appreciate the reviews. Chargers owner, Well, first I should point out, Chargers owner Dean Spanos, beloved by the people of San Diego, had a pretty strong response when asked about the Chargers possibly moving to London. He said, Debo, do you want me to cuss and bleep it out or bleep it myself?
I'll bleep it.
Okay. I'm quoting Dean Spanos here now. It's total bullshit. We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home, and this is where we're planning to be for a long time. Period. That was the quote from him. Didn't feel as good to drop F-bombs when I know they're going to be bleeped and somebody else.
Oh, they're not going to be bleeped. Hopefully Debo forgets.
Well, I'm quoting, so that's fine. I won't get in trouble for that. Also, I should note that the Los Angeles Chargers went on social media, and they posted a clip. Let's see if Ryan can guess what movie it's from.
Okay.
You know what? I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
The show goes on. This is my home. They're gonna need a fucking wrecking ball to take me out of here. They're gonna need to send in the National Guard or fucking SWAT team, cause I ain't going nowhere.
What movie is that from, Ryan?
I went back and forth. Is that Al Pacino in the football movie as a coach?
Oh no!
You thought that with Any Given Sunday?
I couldn't make out who was that yelling?
Al Pacino. Al Pacino was like, I'm not going anywhere.
Who was it?
It's Leo and Wolf of Wall Street. Which while we're on the topic, the Chargers must have thought the movie ended with that clip, because what happens after? Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it, like Ryan maybe. Ryan, plug your ears. Earmuffs. Gets arrested. And then they give him a deal where if he wears a wire, he can avoid jail time, and he wears the wire, but then he tries to warn his friend Jonah Hill, and they catch him doing that, so then he ends up going to prison. So I don't know what the equivalent is. Are the Chargers going to wear a wire to the owners' meeting and try to help out the Rams or something? Because they eventually had to leave, or Jordan Belfort had to leave, so I don't know if that's the best clip for them to be using here.
Let me just tell you, the Chargers don't really think anything through. I think if we learned one thing about them over the past 3 years, that would be the main takeaway. And also my other favorite thing about them sharing that clip is that Jets wide receiver Robbie Anderson literally shared the exact same clip last week when the Jets didn't trade him. The Chargers social media people can't even come up with their own original tweets. And the tweets don't even fit the context, as Sean mentioned. It makes no sense. They're moving to London next year. We all know what's going to happen. Dean Spanos has no clue what he's talking about.
John, should have played Al Pacino from Any Given Sunday. Thank you. That's what I've
also worth noting here. The Chargers already moved. They moved 2 years ago. Like, what do you mean? You're like, that's like Sean going to some girl that he's dating being like, I'm not going to break up with you. And like, after he's broken up with like six girls in the last 2 weeks, like, what are you doing?
What
like,
world are we living in where that's happening?
They're also, yeah, exactly. They moved 2 years ago.
It's like some girl telling Sean she's not going to break up with him. Is that better, Ryan?
It is kind of like ironic too that they're using a movie about like excess greed and like screwing over common people after they moved from San Diego. So I hope the irony is not lost on them.
Exactly. That'll do it for the emergency podcast. By the way, go to CBSSports.com and check out my – did y'all read the article I did where I like imagine Charger schedule if they were –
I'll be honest, you know what I did? I did a search, a control F. No mention of taxes.
I thought you'd be jumping in the hashtag content yourself and helping to pull the old content boat down the lane. Guess not. Guess you're not a big team player, huh?
No, but I will be happy to draft be the draft.
How would the draft? By the way, how would it? Like one of the things we didn't talk about, Debo's going to stab me in the face. But one of the things we didn't talk about was what do you do? Like you're a desperate fringe roster guy, and the Chargers want to give you a tryout, do you like fly to London? Like,
imagine being on the practice squad. Those guys have no job security at all. You're going to go to London for a job. You might be gone in 3 days if they decide they want to pick up someone else.
Yeah.
Or they want to give you a tryout and you don't have a passport.
The Lions had a player that they signed the week before they played in London a few years ago, and then they cut him the day before the game because one of their other guys got healthy. So the guy literally went to London. Vontaze Burfict went to London for 24 hours this year and then got suspended and had to fly straight home. Like, imagine that. I mean, there's there are some rough situations that come up.
But who was the guy a few years ago? I can't remember his name, but the Patriots would cut him like every
Underwood.
Week. Underwood. Yeah. What was it, Underwood?
He had the tall hair.
The guy got cut right before the Super Bowl, and then they lost.
I think his name was Underwood.
No, there's somebody else that they kept. It's a shorter name. They kept cutting every week. But what if you're like keep flying back to like freaking London, or like what if you're? I mean, we would 100% see somebody hold out from the draft. Like if you're drafted by the Chargers in London, like nah, not going to London.
You know why? First words,
taxes.
Taxes.
KenJohn Barner got cut 3 times last year, but still got a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots.
He did?
Well, the London Chargers aren't winning the Super Bowl. And apparently aren't going to be the London Chargers, so that's exciting. All right, let's get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow morning with the Brady Quinn Football Show. So make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Thanks, fellas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.